feeling for the current of the life you've lived the last week or two together and what it tastes like, and slowly forming a word or two for that taste. What carries through? Either the feeling of what everything constellates around, or what leaves things open-ended. Someone once gave me a book of different instructions from different art classes for making art. And one of the art instructors just said, I won't give the technique, but what the technique does, and it's that the bottom drops out. And the art instructions, which is like the Dharma instructions, have the effect intended, then slowly or quickly, what used to be a floor to stand on. The person used the word trap door, so where there seemed to be just floor, there's a door that opens down. And sometimes we find that bottomless depth, that openness below us, that heaven on earth. Because we crash and sink. But let there be also ways of finding that, or dropping into that through wonder and surprise. So not only when we wanted to be in control and weren't, but when we were happy that we're not in control. The stream or current of our dharma life, never returning, each walk a new walk. The first day of the retreat here, I had this very distinct feeling in the very first meditation that was exactly what the last meditation in the last retreat interior was like. And I have the very distinct feeling in this meditation just before of a similar kind of arrival together to a place that will continue to be with us and where we can go from there together. And so feeling carried by those who've gone before and our own practice that's come before. And gratitude and feeling how this is ongoing, open-ended, never returning. Always here. Each here, always a new here. So feeling if there's a word that expresses what you carry in your heart, or what carries your heart, or both, from here, with here, in here. And if you'd be willing to say it to us.
Unburdened and exquisite.
Self-love.
In and out aliveness.
Reverence.
Gratitude. Confidence. Patience.
Corazón.
Freedom.
Jenny K, who is not this Jenny, but the other Jenny, said her word is authenticity. feeling our words silently taking their place and feeling that, like leaves beautifully falling, landing, incorporating into the soil. Just feeling the quality and power in the room. How easily forgotten and how easily remembered. Both. And how easily it came to be. How even just to be here is enough in a way, and how even just to be in silence is enough in a way, and being in silence together also. Being in silence and daily life together is enough also. And silence and daily life and stillness together. Moving together, singing together, listening, speaking together. How it is possible. And how there's now no going back. And how parts of us have come whole. And how that feels. So if there's anybody who'd like to say more than a word, feel free. I'm deeply grateful for your practice, persistence. And what happens here? Also, your gifts of Dana, which we haven't counted, so it's that kind of thank you. Thank you. Knowing that the preciousness of what is easily forgotten and easily remembered. Our experience of that can easily come together and continue in its gaining momentum. Which is a pleasure and an unburdening and a freedom for oneself and also the ways that it frees us up around other people is wonderful and important. You may have heard the story of one time someone asked an even now more famous Joseph Goldstein, this was many years ago, 20, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, someone asked him, so what's the deal with like realizing not self? what do you notice or what's it like? And he said something like, do you know the exact? My friends enjoy my company a lot more. I take myself a lot less seriously. Yeah, I don't take myself so seriously.
And my friends really like it.
Yes.
Let me say it again.
I don't take myself nearly so seriously, and my friends really like that. Words to that.
And also think how nice that is for oneself. Even if I'm freaking out about which train I'm going to get on and if I'm going to get on a train, it's also not such a big deal. Or even if it is, I can go with the flow somehow, even if I can't. That kind of thing. It's really the daily, ordinary flow as well as the I don't know. I hope you feel what I'm feeling in the room right now. There's a poem by Rilke and also a poem by Mary Oliver about a swan. So sometime, maybe yesterday, we talked about a bird, and that was in the Dana talk, that sense of free fall and then the flying can happen. So they talk about, or Rilke talks about the swan all on the ground, walking like all waddling and ungraceful, and then getting in the water. Our practice is like the two at the same time, more often than not. Sometimes we feel more waddling and uncomfortable and not in our element. We don't feel at home, even though we can manage. We have feet. We can more or less balance. We can walk. And then in the water, sometimes we really feel it in the water. It seems effortless. There's still something going on, but there's less friction. And Rilke talks about it as a kind of death. And we've already mentioned death this week as a just more of letting go of the past. what we no longer need. The English, which is of course translated from German, is not so fun and easy if it's not your first language. There's like heavy and hard work and doing work that you feel like is on your list. He says, the drudgery of trudging through tasks yet undone, heavily as if bound, is like the swan's not fully created walking. So we've been talking about the, like Susan mentioned yesterday, that feeling of, she knows she likes to do yoga when she does it, but when she thinks she has to do it and does it anyway, or whatever, thinks she has to do it and doesn't do it, etc. It's that feeling. We don't quite feel at home. We feel we may have to earn our place or whatever. So the not quite fully created walking. And dying, this no longer being able to hold to the ground we stand on every day, like the swan's anxious letting itself down into the waters, which gently accept it, and, as if happy and already in the past, draw away under it, ripple upon ripple, while it, now quiet, utterly quiet and sure, and evermore mature and regal and composed, is pleased to glide. So luckily it's a simple image, that the language is not simple, but the launch into the water, like a death, which means no longer being able to hold to the ground we stand on every day. So the trapdoor, like the swan, the transition from into the, is sometimes the most sort of embarrassing part. Like, shame can really come there. And so we actually had a sort of, let's say, like live example with Sophie and her questioning. And it had come just in an interview that morning, like 17 years of struggle with this. And then these months where we've been working together. And then just in the interview, a flash came of that feeling when you launch into the water. And okay, accepting that total different kind of element and movement and speed, and without thinking there's something wrong, just because we've lost ground. Just because we've lost ground. And we managed to talk about it even though the mafioso was standing there listening, kind of. And then after we talked, during the talk in the hall, it opened up more rather than closing down. And so this transition, whether from the water to the land or the land to the water, when we're in a deep state and then it can go deeper, sometimes the shame can come, we feel exposed. Or when we're most in what we love and what we love to love, there can come movement of shame. And so letting that be and letting ourselves get slipped kind of maybe under or around or through anyway, if we can, if we can't. This one. In the sense of the water is accepting the swan, and the water is undemanding, happy, and as if already left behind as well, already in the past. Draw away under him. So it's like where the current of life is. Our experience is more stillness, as if the water is moving for us. And a quietness and a sureness, maturity, dignity, composure. And it's pleasing to glide. So that's also there. There's the uncomfortable and there's the, and there's the in-betweens. And so even though there is a deep longing and knowing of what's important and that possibility of gliding, if we keep the preciousness of this feeling of these days where it's also clearly the simple and ordinary, both the context and the experience of peace or stillness or being oneself or loving to love. Coming ever closer home. So the importance of giving time for that, letting our system get accustomed to the stillness and silence that it recognizes and glides into, and letting that have its time. And also when it has its time and there is this gliding, and when bottomlessness opens up in our experience, it's already there, let's say, but it opens up in our experience, not only because we crash, but kind of it dawns on us that there's no bottom, and it's okay, we're not at the bottom. There's a slight sense of gliding. Sometimes a shift of perspective on a really practical issue can come. A moment that's painful because you'd like for it to be different next time, if possible. That policy can change, kind of. That part of your lifestyle or whatever. Or you don't know what, but you know that there needs to be change there. Especially sometimes where there is great stability is where that starts to tell us that something needs to change. And so accepting those sort of like nuts that drop during the silence. And maybe even today taking a moment to write that down if there have been those, just sometimes really specific. And to keep it clearly as it came. So sometimes it might come in a relationship that something feels not quite right. And if that's all you know, that's all you know. Not jumping to any conclusion. Like, oh, I've got to tell him or her that, da da da, or. But just something, there's some tension there, or there's some control, or there's something that's, you don't even know what. But it's easy to remember and easy to forget. So that can be the kind of thing that drops into our lap on retreat, and to accept it and keep it. And to come to places like this regularly enough, spend enough time, and to make a place like this in your life, in your house, in your body, in your mind, and every day entering, no matter what the mood. And we talked yesterday about navigating the should. There will be somehow, often, some kind of should, and we can still go. That doesn't make us unclean to enter the temple. BJG welcomes all of us, even if we're tired and hungry. And demanding. And I recommend kind of randomly and kind of not randomly, 40 minutes minimum daily, entering that. And when that happens to be more than accepting that gift, instead of filling it up with other stuff, some space and time opens out. And if the first thing on our mind could be, oh, maybe I'll spend the rest of the day in silence. Recently I talked to someone who loves meditation in silence, and her life changed that she had some free weekends coming up. And she mentioned, oh, I want to meditate more, but I don't know how or when or whatever. And then she's like, and also now, I don't know what to do with these free weekends. I was like, well, you could, you know, spend a day in silence. She's like, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. Like me yesterday with that, like, Oh, I could do that now. So that's one way of talking about it. Another way is to know what is the minimum amount of stillness and rest in your day that you can't say no to. And how often in the day can you suggest that to yourself as well? Maybe more than once. If you can't say no to 5 minutes, then 5 minutes. If you can't say no to 30 seconds, then 30 seconds. If you can't say no to 5 hours, great. I hope you have a cook or whatever. So in gratitude for the silence that's possible here with the support of Vijayji and his team and Jonathan G, and trees and birds and lakes and all that, knowing that that's changing, so even if you're staying here, things are changing, and so similarly the stream landscape is changing, and it's not your fault. And you can feel like, what's helpful, what's needed, what is just as it is. But remembering to leave room for both parts of the swan and the in-betweens. Every day. And then finally, just people. And again, we've mentioned this already, so I don't need to say much. So not just cyber teachings, and not just our own recorded memories, which will always be warped both pro and anti, like what's our best benefit. We so easily can find ways to work it against us, and also to make it too easy for us. Too hard, too easy. Whereas with other people, it's more of a reality check in a real way. Reality of just being together, okay, let's be still together. And remembering you could suggest that, and people might be really delighted. Oh, yeah. I didn't really feel like going on a walk because I don't feel like talking, but I'd love to go on a walk and be in silence. Or the other way around. So, initiating for yourself and others, and following through, like you have my permission, and maybe you can find your own permission to follow through on what is nourishing. So the independence and the interdependence, and how both are true. Is anyone feeling something to say or ask?
I'd really like to just honor Jonathan and all the years of commitment and dedication and service. I want to say thank you to Vijayji for caretaking Sattva Ashram so beautifully and allowing Open Dharma and us to enjoy the space.
To ongoing miracles.
like to say, to express my gratitude, all of you. That's the end of Indian season of this retreat for me, and in general with the Sangha. And it's really beautiful to spend it here, especially for me, as there's maybe step in the unknown with a lot of openness in my life, and feeling it's already, this retreat is already part of that step, slowly, slowly, and the place here that I've been created was really, really supported. So I'm really, really grateful for your presence and your love. And I remember just before I went in today, I gave my talk and just said to Jaya, like 1 or 2 hours before, it's such an uncomfortable feeling that I have now. Then I walk in, begin to talk a bit, and feel a lot of support and love, and that just, okay, that's gone. Cylinder. So thank you really very much for the space, the time, and the love that you give to yourself and to everyone around. The word that I didn't say when I was asking word for my retreat would have been flowing. Flowing in a stream that's have a lot of rapid, but really having fun going down those rapid, like just being with it and kind of waving on top of it. That's really beautiful. And DJ, again, working with you again this year, year after year, it's really like a pleasure and easy going, and also your support, our friendship that feels deepen and grow with the years. It's a real like gift for me to be here.
I don't want to imagine a retreat without Jonathan running it. My party would be over then.
I can't come back. Yeah. Whatever the role is, I don't come back. And Jaya, it's just, I mean, most of you probably notice it, but like having to work as a manager role with Jaya, how much I see, how much she is dedicated and devoted to this retreat and to the people here. Like, it's, if she would have an agenda, it's just crazy during the retreat. And still, the stamina and the love, it's always there, and that's beautiful to see that. And thank you also for like the sharing you have, the space you create for me, and the gentle push. That's great. So, yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. The naturalness of like your flow is astounding. And so, bow down and enjoying the ongoingness of it. And Vijayji, I asked people if there was a word that carries them from this place, or that they carry in their heart, or whatever. And the word, my word, comes from your poetry, Ishq. And I just love that quality of love that you have and hold in the way that you do here in making this place possible and keeping it as a place of sanctuary for all beings. And just also so naturally yourself. It's doesn't happen very often in this world. So thank you. Vijayji ki jai.
No, I think I do it for myself, you know. Because
I know.
I see in everyone extension of myself, so whatever I want for myself, I try to like, it is more conducive than, you know, like we've known for the past 12 years, so whatever it is, we will not discuss everything here, but my whole simple experience is just, it's an extension of all the people who come here.
Yeah.
Which I said, like, mostly they're in silence and they go back in silence. But I always feel a connection, you know, it's not that words, what confusion, you know. So I've always developed that, you know, there's a connection, and you feel when you see them again, you know.
Yeah.
If there's a smile and I'm like, I look at them, it says all, well, you don't have to. Can I cite a couplet on this?
I was about to ask if you have. You see, words not necessary.
Yeah.
Please.
It says, Rose milne mein nahi, nisbate aashiqui mauquf, umr bhar ko ek hi mulaqat chali jati hai. It says, the bond of love does not depend on seeing each other. Often it happens that one meeting carries you through your life. But somehow I have this regret over that. I see people I don't, you know, get to, you know, meet them or talk to them and get confused by words. So, straight thing is not very good, you know, you need to have some lead off. Okay, so, thank you all. Thank you, Jayadi and Jonathan. And, like, it's so much part of it, like, the staff says, oh, who's the manager? I said, Jonathan. Well, oh, you know, he knows where the keys is. No, but it's not that your job is over, like, you'll be there for him. So that's the kind of, you know, togetherness and connection we have, which would like, you know, to continue as long as possible. And thank you all for being part of it and the way you do your retreat, and it makes our job very easy. And in a real sense, I call them all yogis. I said, these are yogis, so don't disturb them. So I think we could carry it when you go out of this, of the retreat. So which is all within us, you know, to carry it no matter where you are. Maybe you are in New York or Delhi or wherever it is. So that part of Saptal will always remain, I think should remain. And in the time of confusion, it should help each and everyone. That's what I wish. And all are welcome again. And in spite of if you want to come alone, you know, apart from Open Dharma, you are welcome. Those who have my email, or those who have taken it from Jonathan, or you can write it down on the board.
Maybe put it on the board also.
On the board. So if you want to come on your personal retreat to ashram, you are welcome. If you want to chill out and party, come to the state and stay there. So, you are welcome, and thank you all. And hope to see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Jayadi, I just wanted to say that it seems like it's like kind of beyond words to say anything more about what you do.
Yeah. It's beyond me also. It's very curious to have this such a similar feeling at the end of this retreat as at the end of Tiru, being moved nearly to tears and by the mystery of it, of what happens. Thinking of this place and also what we've expressed about Jonathan and Vijayji's, I think of an image I think it's from an Indian teaching story, but it doesn't need to be, a tree. That, so let's say Jonathan G is saying, like, sometimes the stream was going fast and okay, go with the flow. So sometimes the trees around, they have their nooks and crannies and their holes and their, and the it makes shelter for the creatures, all kinds, but the birds here. And sometimes we'd like to be that smooth, perfect looking tree without any fast-flowing stream or holes or nooks or crannies. But just feeling how that irregularity and that unexpectedness of what happens and what is our life makes more room for more life. And there can be more of a sense of being one who welcomes that. Not only trying to find shelter, but also sheltering, so to say. And there's a man who is an ecologist. I don't remember his name, but there's on the Open Dharma Facebook site, there is a link to this talk that I'm mentioning here. So you can find it there, even if you don't participate in Facebook, you can visit our page anyway. And he wanted to find a way of concretely expressing the changes that can happen in a forest. Even when, so there's a thick, diverse forest, and there's even a respectful attitude of trying to go in and do the most selective kind of logging, of cutting down trees, but like not clear cutting, going and taking what seems to be the most undisturbing way. And so this gentleman recorded the soundscape of the forest before this careful, selective, eco-logging intervention, and the soundscape of the forest after. And I didn't have time, and I'm not sure technologically how I could bring it here, but you can listen to it on the Facebook thing link. It sounds like Satsal beforehand. And after, it's nearly silent. It's so striking. And so it's just to say a few things, just to give the importance of a few things. One is sometimes we think, that was just such a small thing. Why am I so disturbed? Why do I feel so dead? It was just a small comment or a bad dream or whatever. Like, why should I? But it's so different from what we expect and plan, how things actually go with life. And the other two things. One is like people like BJG Jonthanji, that we feel like that kind of tree, that they don't mind if we come and nest on their shoulder for a while. To really respect that and to support that. That even a little bit of like, well, this is allowed, this is eco. This is eco cutting, this is eco using or whatever, but like, and so also those places in your life, those relationships, friendships, silences, places in nature, whatever, pets, whatever, everything that helps. To really honoring that and not necessarily thinking, well, if I just check my email while I listen to the Dharma talk, or if I just, I don't know, if I'm doing a crossword puzzle and I pet my cat, then petting the cat helps me. So, but like really, that's okay too, but like giving also that like untouched forest kind of place to yourself, entering that, being there. And because sometimes we can leave it like that and not go in and take out those trees, because then it's much harder to come back from there. And on the other hand, here's Satsal, which is not an untouched. It's continually touched. And there's so much. And it's still more coming if you stay on the... I still haven't seen those red birds yet. Is it Butea monosperma, the red flower thing that comes?
Maybe tomorrow I'll see you.
Maybe. BJG is trying to convince me to stay one more night. And my ticket is confirmed tomorrow, but not today. And I want to go. Okay. So let's have some minutes silent together. Feel free to lie down. It'll be